Bam.
What is that?
Huh? He said bam.
Bam!
And I said Margera.
Margera. Okay. Yeah, yeah, I got you. What is up, fellow humans and mutants alike? Jane Foster dies at the end of Thor. How are you doing today?
I mean, James Caan died, so...
Jane Foster dies, Jane Caan died. We're just spoiling everything today. If you're still here and not mad at us for what I just did to you, how are you doing? We are talking about...
I'm still sad about James Caan, but okay. I can know that it's frustrating that people are mad about this.
I just wanted to piss off some Marvel fans right now.
They'd be mad about that, but no, they should be mad that we lost.
They should be mad that we lost James Caan recently. Man, James Caan. Sorry, my bad. We're about to get a copyright strike up in this bitch.
It was less than 15 seconds, right?
Yeah, less than 15 seconds. We're are right. But that is that jingle of Japan is none other than a sign that we are talking about Doan Kukuru's Island, the latest Mobile Suit Gundam movie. You're a big Universal Century Gundam fan. I'm a big Universal Century Gundam fan. I make videos on Universal Century. I don't anymore. I got lazy and I stopped.
Yeah. You went into it hard, but you kind of dropped off.
Yeah, I was just like, meh.
I thought this was gonna be an anthology or something. Like,
I might get back into it. I might get into it. I wanted to make it like a huge, like one of those like Marvel history like books, but like UC.
Well, I want you to believe in the weird shit, though, because I wouldn't even just say I'm a UC fan. I'm just a Gundam fan in general. Mm-hmm. I enjoy some of the weirder, offbeat shit. I mean, we grew up with Gundam Wing, and 00 was probably my jam for a while because of the similarity. But, yeah, like, you should have done get into the Crossbone Gundam and all that other shit.
Good old Crossbone. How about some Gundam Seed Astray? Any fans of that? The Astray line, side tangent, the Astray line of the Seed universe, the, what is it, Cosmic Era universe, was the main prototype of the Gundam. Like, if you look at, like, the history of it, you go on the wikis, like, apparently the Astray, there's, like, 14 Astray lines. I might be being a little hyperbolic, maybe like six Astray, and that was supposed to be the main Gundams, but then they created prototypes that became Strike.
Oh, and that's the divergence there.
That's the divergence right there. But the whole, like, have you ever read the Astray manga at all?
No, I'm not familiar with it at all.
The Astray manga was way more interesting than Gundam Seed whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of it. It sounds familiar, but I can't think I've ever actually like dived into
it. It's pretty cool. It's about like a junker essentially coming up on one of the Astrays.
Oh.
And he finds it. So like a junker finds a Gundam.
I like that. I like that. It's better than like, you know, some orphan that like comes in and it's just like, oh, Gundam, I'm the best.
Yeah.
It's like, what? His Gundam, it was just right here. I hopped into it. A dude fell out of it. He died. I took over. And I'm now like the main character.
Exactly.
This is my show.
This is my show.
The other dude's like, I'm just junking. Like, my life sucks. Gundam. Oh.
Gundam. Less drama than the other things happening in Cosmic Era. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. But so UC's clean. I like UC. I enjoy it because it's like, it's a solid franchise that you can kind of pick through and actually enjoy.
Yeah.
And watch back to back and still feel connected. Like Hathaway still feels, like Hathaway's Flash still feels connected to like Char's Counterattack, which are two of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Not to say that this one wasn't good, but it's definitely, you know, it's no Char's Counterattack. It was an episode that turned into a movie.
What about Char's Counterattack makes it so epic, do you think? Do you think it's his, like, because we go from Double Z. Right? Quattro, right? Or not Double Z, but Zeta, where he's Quattro, to Double Z, where he's gone.
Yes.
And then we get Char's Counterattack, and he essentially does this grand reckoning, or attempts to do this so-called grand colony drop, if you will.
To me, it was like the biggest heel turn in Gundam history, where all of a sudden this character that redeemed itself just said, fuck it. He was like, I'm going full Char again. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, here's Char back out here.
Find his roots.
Not only to find his roots, but to become like to become what he always wanted to be and was like this decimator of the world, this true force, the might of Zeon. He wanted to become the embodiment of the might of Zeon.
Right.
And he finally achieved that again. He had to go through the both sides, like kind of like a dark Jedi, like going back to the light side and becoming like a gray Jedi and all that kind of stuff. He was like the ultimate version of what you could expect out of Char. He wasn't even wearing the mask anymore, too. He was just full on. He's like, look at me, bitches. Look at my face. I'm not hiding. I'm coming for you, Earth. And that's what I like Char's counterattack, because it was the full circle of his character. The character that most of us love out of UC.
Here's something I didn't know, actually. Do the general public know him? Knows him as Zykum's son?
The general public probably knows little about the Char character outside of the meme of what Char is.
I mean, in the UC universe.
Oh, yeah, in the canon?
Yeah, in the canon.
there's a whole swath of people that know him as different things, and I don't think Quattro. You could... Well, Quattro was the thing for a while, but then also before he swapped in and, like, he was took over...
his. What was his original name? Daikun. I always forget. He's Char.
He's Char. He's Quattro. That's all I ever remember him as.
Yeah.
But going back further, I know he had he swapped out with the actual Char as well, and took his place by telling him, "Hey, get on this plane for me. You know, I'm gonna dip out."
And hey, man.
And the guy died.
It's cool. I'll stick back. You go ahead. I'll take the next flight. It's cool. No worries. I got this.
And then he was dead.
And then
and now he's like, I'm taking your identity.
Dead. Your identity is mine. Identity theft leads to terrorism. Would you say that?
Yeah. Sure. It's a slippery slope, but yeah.
Identity theft. It leads to terrorism, folks.
You wouldn't download a car.
You wouldn't download a car, would you? I would download the fuck out of a car. Not to side tangent on current events, but the murder of Shinzo Abe used a gun that he printed, I think.
Oh, really?
I believe so.
Oh, wow. That, well, yeah.
He made. I just heard in the headline. All right, and we're back. Sorry, the Illuminati has stopped us from talking about the Japanese government. We apologize.
You cut right on that. Oh, my God.
I guess we'll not talk about that subject whatsoever. What were we talking about before
that? We were getting into some deep dive. We tangented hard onto Char's counterattack because, fuck yeah. In my head, I was like, oh, we're going to talk about Char's counterattack? All right, let's get into this.
Yes.
But overall, it's the best Gundam movie because it carries the whole spirit of what UC is into one moment. And then and you get the payoff with all the characters and kind of a closure that didn't actually, you know, need to be expanded on. They could have stopped UC there and it would have been a great ending. But, you know, there's still so much else they got out of it.
There is a lot to be said.
There was, but it could have ended and we would all have been satisfied. But just like Hathaway's Flash was great, so I'm completely okay with it. I like Gundam, Unicorn, all that stuff. So.
Whoa. Okay. Later Gundam, post Char's counterattack, what would you say is the most unique thing that has come out of the UC universe?
The most unique thing out of the UC universe. The most ridiculous thing was in narrative when they did the whole psycho new type
ghost thing where everyone was just like, hey, what's up, man? We're all ghosts.
They force ghosted, like, and they made it more visual and out, like an abstract, like body floating around. That was unique, but also it was bad. It was like a midichlorians kind of thing. We're like, no, we didn't. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it, but no.
It was weird, right? Yeah. Right. It was weird. It was fine. It was good. It was okay. It did its job, but there was some weird new. It did the new type thing, which is not my favorite part of Gundam. The whole space psychics.
Yeah, if it stayed more grounded industrial warfare, like MS-18, like then you probably would. be more gripped by it. But yeah, when they expand on this new type and they're like, the new types can wield the Minoski particles with their will.
Yeah. And she's just like, okay.
No.
God damn it. It's just Star Wars all over again.
Her Minoski counts are off the scale. My
God. Yeah, I don't need another one of these in my life.
But it's great still because, you know, Hathaway's Flash was even after all of that stuff, and they still kind of they pushed the envelope enough in the design of the characters and carrying the storyline. It still feels connected.
Yeah.
Bright's there. People get slapped.
I love Bright. Yeah. You know, he really keeps people in line.
This is like Cuckoo's Dawn, you know. Like this movie was like saved by three slaps.
It was saved by three. Was there three? I thought it was two.
No, there was so the two flashback, and then there was a slap in the future.
But Sayla did a slap.
Exactly. Not
so. You're saying just Bright slaps three.
Well, there was two Bright slaps, and then one of hers.
Oh, so three. Two total. Bright slaps, one Sayla slap.
Which is three total, which is the most slaps we've got in a movie thus far. So this one's winning on that alone. But if you want to break the movie down, it's okay. It's good. It's a good movie, but it will never live up to those other grander ones that we kind of idolize.
I felt like it was a very slice of life. I mean, it is a, if you think about it, this was a poorly drawn side story.
At first, I was put off by that slice of life aspect and like the stretching of the side story. But then when I realized the 80s campiness that they kind of extenuated and kept, especially when like how everyone kept saying his full name, like, "A Cuckoo's Dawn, oh no." And then, "Oh, I remember you, Cuckoo's Dawn. You were the greatest fighter ever, Cuckoo's Dawn. I will defeat you, Cuckoo's Dawn. You are done, Cuckoo's Dawn." Okay, no, I get this.
Yeah.
You don't cut this. You keep it. It's like a bad Jackie Chan dub. You're like, no, you keep that. That's a part of the experience. You don't want to take that out. This is good. I like it.
I did.
You won me over. At first, I was apprehensive, but then when I saw that they were leaning into it, I was like, yes, I'm along with the ride. You got me. It was a good movie, but it was not epic.
It was not.
And we'll dive into that.
Let's dive. Hold on. Before we dive in, before we get into the movie.
All right.
Let me help you lose a little faith in humanity.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot about this.
So,
oh, my God.
So, first video, creator of Yu-Gi-Oh! Died, right?
Exactly. Well, no, died? He was murdered.
Murdered.
By those sharks.
By the sharks. Fucking got eaten by sharks. Oh, my God.
Okay, yeah, you say died. So, I'm like, no, that guy was killed.
Creator of Yu-Gi-Oh! Died. So, in his honor, I want to show you a video. Okay. You ready for this?
Let's see what happens, man.
Bam. Hopefully the audio works. You hear?
Kyle, I will only use the Dark Magician. Prepare to fight this battle. It's been a raging roar. I've been figuring this out since the day we've been reincarnated.
Okay. So, he's clearly challenging someone. In this moment, to the public, on the internet.
Is he going to cut to like a shark on the other side of the room and like a picture and he's like enemy number one written on it or something?
I think it's just going to be him playing this out. Let's keep going.
Okay.
You are wrong. Who the fuck are you? I will use the blue eyes of my dragon.
Ooh, and you put blue eyes right up to the screen.
Blue Eyes, there's only three copies. Kaiba, my Dark Magician and your Blue Eyes. Dark Magician is my loyal servant.
Okay.
Good head throwback. We were just talking about that.
Why does he keep going out of frame for a second? He jumps in and jumps out.
Well, he has to accent what he's about to say with, like, a motion turn. Like, when you turn around and, like, shout at someone or when someone turns and slaps. Oh, wow.
That's his legacy.
He had a good cadence. He was bouncing around, you know. So this was his response to hearing about the death of his favorite hobbit, the creator of his favorite hobbit.
No, this was just my memorial to him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought this is, like, this guy venting where he's just, like... And then, like, when he put out the video caption underneath it, is, "Be on notice, sharks, I'm coming for you." I'm about to reveal my trap card.
It's like trap card, bitch. What do you know about furries?
Furries? Unfortunately, I know far too much.
Really?
Through the osmosis of the internet.
What do you know about, like, cat furries? Do you know about, like, the different meows?
They had that MTV True Life, I'm a Furry, that came on once. I remember that. I watched that on TV.
Yeah, you've told me about that.
That's unfortunate. All right. But no cat furries. Just amalgamation of all animals.
I'm going to teach you something right now about cat furries.
You want me to answer this question? I have to, like, dig up repressed memories.
Okay, hi, guys. So, my name's Dasha. I'm a furry.
Okay.
And I'm going to be teaching you guys some ways that my friends and I meow to one another to communicate when words just seem a little too difficult.
Meow to one another.
So, here we go.
She even, like, moved her head like a cat.
First off, we have the normal meow that we just use mostly to get each other's attention.
Oh, here we go. Meow.
Okay, then we have the dissatisfied meow.
Okay.
And the angry meow, but we only use this one on rare occasions because overall we're a very happy kitten family.
Okay.
Whoa.
Then the happy or content meow. Meow. Okay, then.
And they just, you are mine.
Do they bite them by the back of their neck and carry them away?
Right? man. It's pretty. It's, you know, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle, Danny. It's a lifestyle.
I watched MTV growing up. They said that it's people rubbing up against each other until one person achieves arousal and ejaculation.
There you go. MTV knows what's up.
That's what all the interviews said. They said sometimes you get off, sometimes you don't. Sometimes only one person does. You both do. Yeah. She's rocking a lot of crystals.
Yeah.
You see that? She's rocking a lot of crystals.
She probably has, like, patchouli.
There's a lot of crystals.
And a lot of crystals. She's going to have tarot cards. She's going to whip out the tarot cards.
Her deodorant is crystals.
Yeah.
Her vitamins are crystals.
Let me ask you. You hate...
No.
You hate Funko Pops, right?
Yeah.
I hate Funko Pops.
I'm put off by just how rampant they are.
This guy really loves Funko Pops.
Is this his reaction to opening said Funko Pop? Oh my.
Oh my gosh! Oh! Oh my gosh! Oh! Oh!
Okay, so My Hero Academia Funko Pop. Not rare. Not rare whatsoever. It's not like anything special. Just a nice, you know, side character from My Hero Academia.
That guy is that guy like 63 years old? He's way too old.
He looks like he's
hat.
About 40 something at least. And that's giving him the benefit of the doubt. Giving him the benefit of the doubt. Let's continue. Okay. Here he goes.
Is he going to cry? He's crying.
He's crying.
He's crying. He's crying. Oh, my God.
Plus freaking mega ultra.
Wait, what?
It's a TikTok video.
Thank you.
Is that,
oh,
like,
this means
person?
A lot. Oh, Gio, you totally rock, man. Oh, wow. Gio, you're awesome. And you're definitely 100% way beyond.
Plus thank you, Gio, my brother.
Woo!
When's the last time you ever got excited about anything like that? Guy has just got excited about a Funko Pop.
I mean, get hyped about things, but never. I almost, like, wonder. Did he ham it?
Broke into tears. Like, he had a moment.
There's a level that I'm looking at right here, like a spectrum where I'm like, is he hamming it up for the audience or is he got a level of brain damage that would allow this to be like a normal reaction to things? Like, that's what I'm thinking.
I'm going to say somewhere on the spectrum, somewhere autistic of some sort.
Maybe, maybe.
He's rocking the My Hero Academia hat. Look at that.
Ah, jeez. I'm trying not to look at it. Like I said, man,
I'm trying not to.
It's bad. Like, it's bad.
All right.
He shouldn't be wearing that hat. He really just shouldn't. There's so many other hats he could wear, but that hat just looks really bad on him.
No. All
right. It looks, especially the way the camera's like froze right here at this image. It just got that face.
Sad face.
Yeah, like he's just like
he's got the cry face.
He
looks
like someone punked him into putting that hat on him. Yeah. Like someone's like, wear the hat, bitch. I don't want to put the fucking hat on.
Peer pressure is a bitch, man.
No, Timmy, I don't want to put that on.
I think we've lost faith in humanity enough for this one.
Yeah.
Let's go down the rabbit hole that is Doan Kukuru's Island.
Oh, my. Here we go.
Yeah. So did you watch the original episode before watching this?
I watched clips of it because since the original episode got kind of removed in the process of like it actually being re-released and distributed abroad where we would watch it on TV here back in the day. It's like all that stuff was gone. You never even noticed it. And then you hear this like, hey, there's like Gundam episodes missing and some things are out of order and things are different. You start to dig into like the background of the Gundam universe. You find these like weird little things. And I never paid any mind to it. I've seen stills and pictures. And then when they said, hey, here, we're re-releasing it as a movie.
Right.
Here's some updated, you know, cuts and stuff. I checked that out and went and looked at the originals and compared them. But that's it. That's as far as I got into this. So I was kind of, it was novel to me coming into it.
I watched clips. Yeah, I watched a bunch of clips coming into this. I did not watch the original episode, though. It looked really bad, though.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, all the clips were bad. The art, the animation, so many frames dropped. Just you could see that it was just, like, a random thing, and then, bam, somewhere else.
They really got lazy on the Zaku heads. The heads on the Zaku were so
funny.
And
the long Zaku heads. The artwork was so bad. And that was the whole joke about that.
It was stale artwork, yeah.
And this movie, they somehow made it work. Like, those long heads, right?
Visually, this movie's perfect. The fights, the visual aspects of it, but it's the pacing and the overall stretching. So the padding.
Pacing. It's the pacing. And padding. Let's be real. It's an episode. It's an episode that they made into a movie.
Which could have been better as like a special, maybe a little shorter.
I agree. Like a 45, 50-minute movie.
Yeah, actually, that'd be fine. Yeah.
Could've worked.
Yeah, 50-minute. Actually, that does sound good.
You could stretch out, draw out some arcs, let some characters have some, like, moments of
dialogue. Call it an O&A or something, whatever. Yeah. You want to label stuff like that. Like, that would have been great because this was like, whoa, this Gundam is walking really slow to get to this dude.
There was moments, yeah, and we've talked about this. There was not only Gundams, but like Amuro and some other characters just walking slow to another place.
There's a foot chase and he like steps on a dude at the end of it.
Yes, there's a moment where he gets into his Gundam. It's a great moment, too, right? He pulls down the curtain.
Yeah, the Zaku pulls down the curtain, revealing the Gundam unit, and he's just like, oh, shit, that's what's behind you.
And then, bam, attack.
Yeah, he thrusts his beam saber at him before igniting it, and then turns it on right before it gets to his chest and just flies into him. And they do it with this lighting effect that's really, like, I guess you could say nostalgic of like, the weird neon groovy effects that they would put in the older Gundam episodes to like accent craziness, and they're like, look at these yellows and greens and oranges like getting paletted over what you're seeing. But they did it in a modern way that was dope, and so that part was great. And then he just slow walk steps on this dude.
Slow walked, right?
Goes for this.
He slow walked and then just bam. Death.
Well, they cut back and forth to Amuro just looking like, she's oh dead. Man, I'm doing this. See a bit of a face like struggle as the slow walk begins. Like Amuro's like, I don't know if I got to do this. And then they cut back again. And he's like, okay, I think I'm doing this. And then they cut back the third time, and he's like, yeah, I'm stepping on this.
Yeah, I'm gonna step on this bitch.
I hate myself.
Bam. Crunch.
I'm a child.
So this movie takes place right after the Battle of Jaburo. You remember that?
Yes.
It's a place in the middle of the Amazon, and it's underground, and Zeon's trying to get to it. Right. They can't get to it.
It was a good conflict. It was a good point, like arc early on in the Gundam series, because this is still very early in the Gundam series.
Very early. 15?
I mean,
episode 15, right?
I believe so,
14.
Yeah. 14, 15 is in
something
that
like arc, that. Yeah.
Because it's not early enough where it's like almost green, but he's still coming into his own. So that's
still
the best
not
part of it.
Like fully fledged new type yet.
Like this was definitely like teach the main character a lesson episode of an early anime series so he can get character development.
Exactly.
And let's speak about character like development, like the fact that there was all this backstory with the people who are on the island and then the Zeon characters that were betrayed by Dawn, like essentially, or felt betrayed at least. So like that was kind of neat. It made it have like weight added in to where it kind of felt like a movie because like, oh, look at, there's all these people and plot. And all this stuff.
Right.
But it was just for one episode, which that's kind of impressive. For one episode to have so much plot and character, you really could stretch it into a good special. But, you know, them going full movie with it didn't really fly.
Yeah.
That slow walk where he steps on him, that's only one of like four slow walk Gundam scenes. Maybe there's like four of them.
Yeah.
Where they, one of them were like lasted for like 4 minutes. It was ridiculous. I was like, where the fuck is he going? He's just treading along. Oh, he's walking over that cliffside. He's going to throw this thing. Oh, he's throwing it. Okay.
Yeah.
I just thought he's going to walk off into the sunset. Slowly, we're going to get a credit roll.
Jaburo got destroyed in Zeta, right?
At the end, I believe.
The Grips War.
But didn't they return
the Titans,
to it?
Essentially, right? They set a trap for them at Jaburo.
Didn't they return to its wreckage at one point in a later series?
I don't recall that. That's the latest memory I have of Jaburo in Zeta.
I did not watch Zeta 2, and I watched just the movies of Zeta 1. One time. One and done.
One and done, huh?
Yeah. Didn't touch Zeta 2. I watched a few episodes of Zeta 2 and was like, yeah, I'm good. Can't do this.
He was out.
And especially how Zeta 1 ended, I was already kind of like, yeah. I don't want anything to do with any more Zeta. And I'm good. Like, call me when you're Char's counterattack or something.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Stardust was good, you know? Like, that. There was other shit, but I mean, Zeta was. I mean, look at Stardust by comparison, or Gundam 8th MS team to like things like Zeta. It's like, wow, Zeta's rough.
Oof.
And Zeta 2, they're both rough. Yeah,
8th MS team is still up there for me.
And they're totally like don't even connect. So it's like Zeta 1's dark, and then Zeta 2's like can't be fun,
can't
lighthearted.
Be fun,
like it's complete antithesis to each other.
Such a coin flip.
Yeah,
right?
It takes you're already settled into like the bleakness of war, so you're like okay, but then they're like lighthearted. You're like, oh, you're losing my immersion.
No,
this sucks.
Man. And it doesn't work.
Done.
It doesn't. Yeah. It just tonally was just not working for me at that time.
Yeah,
like especially when you get out of like with Camille going through all his shit, and then out of nowhere. Bam! Let's have fun, anime genie.
Yeah, we get really like there's speed racer gags and shit. It's
what am I?
It's great for a moment, but then you realize the setting, and you're like, no. That's why Charles Counterattack's perfect, because it fits that tone carried by Zeta.
Right.
Though it was still, man.
It was.
They even agreed it was bleak. When they re-released it in the movie format, they changed the ending, and you're just like, oh, he doesn't have brain damage? He's just running around at a beach somewhere?
He's sad. He's a sad boy now.
But he's like, I'm on the beach, and I got cognitive function. I don't know.
It was weird.
That's Camille, right?
It's Camille, yeah. Camille.
It's a boy's name.
Apparently, nah. You're never going to convince me of that, Camille.
You don't care. He'll
Camille's
fight you.
Camille's a girl's name.
He's
going to
fight
Come
you.
Come at me.
He's going to fight you. He'll go jump across and float at you in zero gravity and punch you in the face. Oh, man. But geez, yeah, this was an interesting approach, and I'm okay with that. If they want to go back to like more lost footage and like build episodes off of it or specials, then this could be good. But Kukuru's Dawn kind of was a test run, I feel, for what they could do greater with and maybe learn from.
Yeah,
because the kind of movies are hit and miss.
They are. They're not the
like you and Zach don't like narrative. I thought it was okay.
I thought it was fine. It was good.
It had some fun things.
It was entertaining. I enjoyed it for the moment, but
it was like one of these. Like,
not memorable, yeah.
Like
it's very much like it's actually on this level. Yeah.
It's a good Gaiden kind of situation, side story,
there
but it's
go.
Like.
Yeah.
They're the other movies where you feel like Hathaway's movie is like, oh, I feel like there's weight in this. Like there's a new thing starting in the universe in an organic way that's going to be big. I like this. This is a future for UC that could be hot. Whereas this was like, you know, so isolated and just, you're like, oh, that was fun.
It was fun. then, it was whatever, you know. Yeah.
We know what happens here. You all turn into space ghosts. Float
space
away.
Space ghosts.
Yeah, float away in sparkles.
Fucking.
Look at Amuro. He's turning into sparkles and floating into space. Never to be seen again. Where do you go?
Right? I don't. Whatever.
Share stuff with us. What's the afterlife like? Don't just like say, don't give me like
tell
empowered
me where
speeches.
You are. Where's your body? What's going on? Explain. Are you alive? Are you dead?
Yeah. I don't need no empowering and impassionate speeches. No, just tell me shit about what's going on, man. And then they just dip and you're like, fuck you. Fuck you.
So
it's all Lala's fault.
It's fucking Lala's fault. It's so always weird. It's always the brown girl's fault.
Oh, remember they would show the cuts of her just floating of like they would show her head, but then her like clothes would be like a part of her head. Like like she'd be floating clothes through like a some weird gown. Her weird gown, yeah. Like space she'd float and they're like, this is the weird spiritual psychic body of Lala floating at you right now. She's just a head with a gown. It's so weird. Such a lazy. It's like a bad idea. Someone thought like, oh, this would seem surreal, and it's like that Japanese sense of like what horror and like surreal is kind of is creepy to some other countries because they're different types of perspective of like what horror and surreality is. But so seeing that, it's just like, whoa.
It's intense. It could be intense for sure.
That'd be scary, but like Amuro's like, Lala, what's up? And it's
hey,
just like, no.
How's it going?
Oh, there's so much to laugh at, you see. Oh my God.
But yeah.
Char Assel will never betray anybody.
He's
a good man.
Ever betrayed anyone. He's a good man. I will uphold that.
That's what he says. He'll be like, hey, I've never betrayed any of my friends ever.
Yep.
Quick cut.
Death's lover. Blow up. Okay, so essentially a battle occurs on this island where everyone's also like those who go to the island never return type of island.
Yeah.
And shit goes down. They retreat. Amuro gets left behind. He wakes up with children. Essentially, the story revolves around White Base essentially needing to go to Belfast. That's where their orders are now at. And they're trying to delay that to wait to see if they can get to Amuro, who is having his own adventure on this island
because he's been down and lost his Gundam.
He's lost his Gundam. He doesn't know where it is. He's trying to find it,
and now he's adopted all these orphans.
And now these orphans are fucking bugging him to fucking do labor, and just like, what the fuck are you bothering me for? Go learn how to use a circuit board.
Learn to code.
Side three.
Get off my bed.
I would love that if Amuro just like says something. It's like, you know what it's like when you get that, like when you take a piss and then you just drink that water because it's instantly like purified. Side three, bitch.
Yeah, he's like, I never learned how to wield a hoe. What are you talking about? A show? Get this out of my face.
Do you know what a robot is?
These are archaic. Where's your Haro?
Right? Yeah, my Haro does everything. You ever had a Haro blowjob?
Oh my God.
Perfect.
It's that vacuum attachment.
Ooh.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you got to make sure you put apply the lubrication beforehand, though, or else
that's how they get you, though. You got
to
get a subscription to that lube, and it's expensive.
You always have to get the lube, man.
After a while, it's you change.
It's OEM
dangerous.
Lube, too. It's OEM dangerous. Lube? You don't.
It's just the same manufacturer. And some reason you buy other lube, it breaks. You're like, I don't understand
like,
how
what?
This happened.
What happened? How did this work? I thought it was water based.
It
no.
just has like a little like display that says fail or fault.
Fuck you, DRM.
Just put it in. It just says fault, fail. It knew.
They'll find a way. I shouldn't give them ideas.
No. Give it time. We'll get there.
Give it time and treat your Haro right.
But I mean, things are nice in Side 3. These kids don't know.
Yeah.
Kids don't know and they don't understand.
Dude, fucking neutrals.
Yeah. And they got John there. He's raising them. And there's this other lady who's immediately, like you said, thirsty for Amuro.
Kara.
They lock eyes and they're just chilling there. Like, have this weird like moment where they just stare at each other in silence for like 10 seconds or something like that. And you're like, what's happening? Is Amuro like... Is Amuro just got a girlfriend for this one movie? And they're just going to hook up and he's gonna like, well, later. I'm already confused. But then like Don shows up and then things start to pick up and he's just like, oh, it's this guy. And you know he knows something's up. But Amuro's like completely oblivious because he's thrown off by the children and what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, so then they just kind of drag that out for like, that's a good third of the movie. That's the middle act, right?
Well, that plus Marcos is a good third of the movie.
Yeah, him going around like swimming and...
Let's talk about Marcos and his insecurities and his life goals and his dreams.
He goes through the most character evolution in the whole movie. In the beginning, he wants to be like a some sort of Zeon pilot or something like that. Like, he actually wants to pilot like a mech to protect all the other orphans.
Yeah.
He wants to be like Don. He wants to grow up and like take his role.
Yeah.
Or at least be his like sidekick or something like that. And that's just the beginning of the movie. By the end of the movie, like, he just flips over a bunch of leaves. He just wants to be a farmer in the end. He's like, I'll retire. I'm going to farm and hang out with these kids.
Farm, hang out, do my thing.
Yeah. Kind of looks like a cross between like Amuro and Tetsuo, like I was saying, but with a smaller forehead.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was a forgettable design.
My guess was Tenchi Muyo, but it took me like 20 minutes to get there.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
I remember that. That was funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that's the cast, you know. That's pretty much it. The children are all ambiguous enough where like you can forget them, but they're more just palettes there to be in the background. Very diverse group of kids. Like all war-torn countries like seem to somehow lose a set of children on this island. It's like they washed up on the shore from every country.
Yeah. So we got this kind of like Marcos being this like insecure person, while Amuro's kind of being this helpful person throughout the island. And then we get essentially Amuro helping fix the lighthouse, which then dons the Southern Cross Corps to essentially attack the island. I guess let's talk about the Southern Cross Corps. A rogue group of, what are they? Let's see.
They're like Zeon Elite soldiers. They're like special unit.
Yes. According to Gundam Wiki, the Southern Cross Corps is an elite unit of Principality of Zeon's armed forces that appear in Kukuru's Island. That's exactly what you just said.
Yep. Yeah. That's really what they were. I got that just from watching like the way they handled. That's why Don was originally part of it.
Thank you, Wiki.
Everybody had like a specific type of skill set or fight style that made them a step above the average Zeon soldier. Especially Don. He was like the best. That's why he was able to handle his whole team essentially.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all they really were in the end. Is they were just Zeon soldiers that had like a step above anyone else around them, and they just got betrayed by Don, and now they end up coming back because there was something that happened that set off a distress call that made them curious about that region, and everyone was like, well, that's where we got betrayed by Don. Let's go back and check it out. I want to throw down with him anyways. One of his like teammates doesn't even want to hear his name. Anytime you bring it up, he's like,
crazy.
Yeah, he wants to like fight you to the death and eat your face.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they get all riled up and they're like, man, we're here on this island. Nothing seems to be going on. And Amuro and the kids are like, let's turn on the flashlight. It's like the scene in Jurassic Park where the kids are like, hey, let's turn on this light and shine it at the T-Rex. You're like, oh my God, you're all so dumb. Remember when they looked into the fucking lighthouse or the light from the lighthouse?
They just straight up looked at the light, lighthouse.
They plugged it in and they're like, is it going to turn on? And they're just staring at it while standing right in front of it. And it turns on and they're all fall over blind. It was weird.
Ridiculous.
Though still kind of adds to that dopiness and campiness from like their time frame. And I mean, this is late 70s.
They had moments like that with like the fighting, the fist fighting, I should say, is really weird. It's just all clumsy and
everyone's
tumbling on top of each other.
Remember when Marcos and Amuro were trying to hide when the Zaku's infiltrated? Oh, we forgot to mention, Don has a secret like military base hidden under the island with his mobile suit still there functioning and the Gundams hidden there.
Including, original Gundam.
That's when they throw back that sheet we're talking about. That's when the Amuro discovers it and those guys are walking around. But when they're sneaking in, Marcos like tries to pin Amuro to the wall to hide in the shadow, but he does while they're lying on the ground, and he does it in this rapey way where Amuro's squirming around like a goddamn fish.
It looks weird.
And he's just like holding him tight, wrapping his legs around him, and he's like pulling him into the wall. And I was just, wait, what's about to happen? Is he gonna kill him? Is he's like, or where it looked like, was it like Sailor was like choking out a Haro
kind of.
Like, there was a part like that where, but it's just her being expressively kind of happy.
Just like holding it. But she's like, and just being like,
but the horror looks like it's like in pain.
And it's like, no, stop, please. I don't want this.
Exactly. So it's strange. But yeah, there's those moments that happen throughout the movie that kind of make it fun. But then there's the other moments that we talked about that drag it out that counter some of those.
What's your favorite moment of the film? We talked about the curtain moment, so let's exclude that.
Oh, okay. This is easy. When they were milking the goat.
Milking the goat. Oh, forgot about the goat. The goat.
Oh, the goat is the scene stealer.
The goat is the scene stealer in this movie. It takes the scene away. It's all over the place. It's our only source of probably
It is the fat, comic relief character, protein, too.
Lactose.
Yes, that's true. That's the only milk they're getting on this island, so that goat is precious.
Yeah.
But there's a part where they're teaching the youngest of the kids to milk the goat, and there's like the part where they're going to milk it, and it's this build up and it's a tense scene. Mm-hmm. And then when they finally milk the goat, there's a quick cut to the goat's face, and this goat is having like the best orgasm ever. Yes. Like just pure elation, pure joy. Back. It's palpable how happy this goat is like coming getting off right now.
Eyes rectangle as fuck.
Oh, I want to find that and make it a wallpaper or something on my computer. Oh, I liked it. That was the best part. That was the funniest part, I guess, action-wise. The scene with the throwing back and stabbing was one of the best ones, but also when Don was thrown down at the end and he was like chopping like people in half, and it was like people that he felt like bitter about it, especially when he killed that one, the lady that he seemed to have like a relationship with, and they lightly touch on it through the whole movie, and it's just so subtle, and you're like, oh shit, he just killed like his former love, and she did that very iconic anime head throwback with the tear. Yeah. They're like, I'm in like a Korean soap opera, and we're cutting the commercial. It was perfect. It was perfect. So that was like the best action part of the scene of him like having this samurai style throwdown with his old crew.
That was good, yeah.
And the rest of it was all like, it wasn't, it filled time. But there were the parts that dragged on that hurt the movie. And those were, they stand out so glaring that it's like, ooh, what the fuck? Just don't do this next time. Don't have him walk around like for fucking 2 miles. And all throughout the movie, he's like, we could put a Fitbit on that Gundam and he's going to have some fucking miles.
The MS-06 GD Zaku High Mobility Surface Type is the Southern Cross Corps.
That's their default Zaku. Okay. Mobile suit. Yeah. Okay, I knew it was a special custom, but I couldn't tell like where.
What do
where,
you think of the skating? Like the whole skating effect of Gundams, like where they skate on the ground.
Well, they're like hover vehicles. That's what it feels like to me. Like how there's that. What was it? There was a Jackie Chan movie where there was a militarized like hover, or he goes to a beach and someone's like got a hover vehicle, and he like gets like run over by it or something like that. But or Sergeant Bilko, they make that hover tank. Like, there's a lot of stuff I've seen like that. So to me, it was like a natural military progression for Gundams to hover in a weird way. But they do, it's like ice skating. It's very graceful.
Mm-hmm.
It's very graceful.
So essentially, they take down the Southern Cross Corps.
Well, Don takes down most of them, except for that guy who has like a bitter hatred towards him.
Yeah,
he's just like, oh, I'll kill you, Don, no matter what. So he manages, because he also doesn't have, they have like, Don has a heat axe, right?
Yeah,
and this guy has like a beam saber or something. No, it's the heat staff. It's those weird. Like, Doms would use them and a bunch of other units. And it's like that staff that would heat up and look like a lightsaber, but it's like a whole thing. It was really weird. It's not like your traditional beam saber that, like, you know, the Red Comet would have, or most of the Gundam units, or GM units and shit. So, like, he had range on him, and so he took out Dom's arm, and you get this bad, bad rock-throwing scene.
It's kind of sad and pathetic. Yeah.
Fistfuls of like ground boulders at him. None of them are hitting, and you're just like, what is happening here? This is almost pathetic. No, this is pathetic. It is weird. And he's just like, he was such a badass through the whole thing. So It was a weird moment in the series, but they had to do it so Amuro could step in, and he's just like, well, it is my show, so look at me coming in on the sunset.
Damn.
And just fucking starts whooping on him.
Whooping.
And then that's it. That's the final climactic fight. Yeah.
Kills
White Bay shows up and is like, what happened?
What do you think of the gun parry? Could hold two Gundams, pretty bulky. Looks like a box that's like a plane.
What?
You don't remember that?
The gun parry.
That's what it's called. Essentially, their mobile unit that was...
That's the name for it, is the gun parry. Okay, yeah. I see. I was like, wait, the gun parry? Yeah. Oh, shit, that thing...
Where they're like, we only have two Gundams because of the gun parry.
I mean, that worked out well enough for him, so it seems like it's...
Felt like a narrative kind of like, we need to
purposely
limit ourselves.
It was too much of a MacGuffin for the plot.
Yeah.
That is weird. Now that you mention it, I thought it was just like that was a custom
Instead
thing that was happening.
Instead of White Base being there.
Well, because they had to be Belfast. You gotta be Belfast. They kept getting contacted. That was like the running gag. We're like, why are you not at Belfast yet? Like, he's like, we're trying to get there. The whole time they're just chilling on the island the whole time. Just like hanging out parts of the island, just watching and like chilling up in like the stratosphere.
Yeah.
Cruising around. Yeah, it was fun. It was nice to get some White Base action.
White Base action is always great, right?
Yeah, like fucking the gun cannon was there, gun tank was there.
Gun tank was there.
They all got fucking rocked, but they were there.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I mean, you do see why these guys are an elite team, because like White Base crew is no. I mean, sure, with Amuro at the spear tip, it's like easy, but still, their crew's no slouch and crew of pilots. Like, they're all great. And some of them show up later in the canon, and some of them technically are dead. So it's like a little tragic when you look at some of them, and you're like, you're fucked later on.
You're going to die.
Yeah. Like the short guy that I think pilots the gun tank or the gun cannon, like that dude, I think he's dead in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I also forget his name. At one point, you look up the wiki, and then you just never think about it again. But yep. Yeah. It was cool seeing them get to throw down with elites and like just get disabled. Like, they held their own for a second, and then it was just like, now the reality is not going to hit. You don't have any legs anymore, gun cannon. Fuck you.
Yeah.
That was great. He's like, oh shit, I'm not dead. Thank God.
Thank God.
Yeah. But I mean, what was the real high point for you in the movie that like scratched that Gundam itch?
I would probably say... The best part, you know what? I didn't get the high highs of that because it's it was a land mission. There's no space battles.
This is a very grounded.
That's what I was like. I was looking at it. I was like, "What's off? What's off?" It felt like something was off. It was like it's.
But I mean, like an MSA team movie wouldn't. I mean, there's the MSA team movie.
That's the only Earth missions I seem to love is the MSA. Kind of series.
You know what? It's because all the units are GMs. They're grounded. Except for the boss like units show up at the end, like the huge fucking floating fortresses. Like you're getting just standard GM guerrilla warfare, so that works.
Yeah.
If you've got the Gundam on the land, it's weird. It's not the same. You're right.
I mean, ultimately, I think the battle between him and that like ex-girlfriend type character or whatever, or subtle hints towards what was probably an ex-girlfriend of some sort.
Uh-huh.
That battle was a good one.
Yeah.
I dug it.
I mean, that was a moment of like raw emotion snuck in out of nowhere, and you're just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And that still carried on throughout the rest of the fight with the characters. I thought for sure the kids were going to die. They seemed like they were setting that up.
I was with you. And they lived throughout the whole series, those damn kids.
Because they didn't pull any punches in the beginning when like Don was like, I'm going to think about my life and what happened here on this island and how things came to be. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh my God, we murdered all these people. Like, he killed their parents essentially vicariously with his crew when they showed up. There's like buildings crushing families. Like the last scene they cut away is he's looking at a young kid trying to pull his dead mom out of like a collapsed building and her arm just sticking out and like a kid can't get her out.
Mm.
It's fucking, and her arm is all bloody and mangled. So you're like, he's pulling a dead body.
Yep.
Yeah. So it got raw. So I was like, all right, these kids are going to die. These orphans are all going to die. Don's going to go crazy and murder his crew. And that's how it's all going to end. And he's just like, I give up, Amuro, and maybe kill himself or something. something a little more Desperado going out style, a little more gritty. But then they were like, no, we're going to keep this a little light and upparted 80s. We're going to walk the line. We start dark, but then we're going to end with really super, like, knit positive ending. Almost aggressive in how positive it was. It's like, everybody who needed to survive, survived. And life will go on, and Amuro learned a little bit about himself. Amuro
learned a little bit about himself. Yeah. He grew.
In the end of the day, it was like a South Park episode. We're like, we learned something today.
We learned something today.
But they stretched that into a fucking movie, and you're just like, I don't, what?
But it was still fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It was still great.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely watch it again.
They're getting better at the CG. They're getting there.
Though I do notice it sometimes.
It's not there yet. Still not there, but
it's the best it's ever been.
It is the best it's ever been.
It's palpable now. Like I can chew it, exactly. Get it down, and digest it, and move on. Like there's so much stuff in the past, and some of those things I like, and how, because how bad they are, so it's like funny to watch them. Like the old apple seeds, not the old ones from the 80s. Those are phenomenal because those are the apex of that animation.
You're talking about the new one.
I'm talking about the 3D, ones from the 2000s 3D, and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, that one.
It's like video game cutscenes. It looks funny. I'm gonna put you on the background and laugh at you.
Oof, yeah.
John Woo did that. Did you know that? That 2000s remake, I mean?
That was John Woo.
He like directed it in some way or produced it. I don't remember, but. He was involved, and it was real strange. I just remember seeing it when I was watching a documentary about him, and I was like, what the fuck? Appleseed. but it's nice to see these throwback Gundams. If they do more stuff like this, and like Gundam Origins,
keep doing, and more UC one-year war stuff.
That's how you do it. It's like people are like, what's going on with this Cassaval guy? Like, let's find out more about him and how he's going to become the leader of Zeon.
Yeah. It's like Star Wars. There's so much to talk about. What we keep talking about, the stupid space psychics.
Well, or they focus on specific like storylines that you already know directly, like the impact on. I mean, like that's the problem with this one, is it being like, you're like, okay, Amuro's not going to die here. He's no way. This is episode like 15. So
he'll be fine.
But is like Dawn going to die or the children? So there's characters in it that you feel weight about because you don't know enough about.
Yes.
So they're new. There's new things happening and the characters bumping into it.
Yes.
And the other ones, it's just like, no new things are happening. You're bumping into the characters that we already know what happens to. So it's like, is Obi-Wan going to save Princess Leia? Is she going to get caught in the fucking... The Empire's gonna kill her?
Die?
Oh my god, she got away. Thank God.
Yeah.
Oh my god, Carrie Fisher would have never existed then. She just fades out of existence. God. It's about family. They use that a lot in the new episode of Red Letter Media. They cut to that. They joke about where how she's like, what's it? You want to know what the new Star Wars is about? It's about family. But she says it like a fucking New York cab driver. Like, it's about family. I don't know.
It's family. It's family.
1085. Hey. Get out of my car.
Let's wrap this up. Any final thoughts on the Gundam movie?
It's a watch.
It's a watch.
It's a watch.
I want to see more. I want to see the evolution of this. CG is getting better. It's not as it's palpable. I'm excited, and let's see some more Hathaway.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I'm really writing for.
Yeah, we'll be back
Hathaway.
Here.
You know, we got another 2023. Movie. What is it? The Witch of Mercury.
Oh, that I can.
And I'm gonna watch it. I'll watch it. I'll be entertained, but it's Hathaway is what I am essentially waiting for.
Because that's mainline. That's bright. Yeah, that's all that stuff. I want to see it.
I want to see it.
The other things, they become like narrative, where it's like kind of like Witch of Mercury, probably just like narrative. But I'll still watch it. I'll probably end up watching both of those movies again several times.
Yes. All right. Well, that'll do it for us this week, folks. I hope you enjoyed our Gundam talk. Not a lot of people like the UC, so this will be interesting to see if people like it. Remember, the robots will kill you. So I will leave you with this question to ponder and chew. Do you think Shinzo Abe's security guards will commit suicide in the next few days out of shame?
Oh my god, Kyle, there's someone coming in the door in a suit.
Oh god, the Illuminati's here. Let's break it up.